Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to Sam and Hercules. Hi, Sam. Thank you for the call.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing? I think we're in trouble, man. Shanahan already looking deflated at his press conferences. I agree. Defense looks good, man, but I've seen it before. We'll bend, but eventually without any offensive production, we do break. I'm surprised we even won that game in Seattle after that 50-yard bomb. I feel like we got lucky with that fumble. Probably would have lost that game, too. And I don't know if the offense would be able to drive down, score. He's going to use CMC too much again, probably run him into the ground. And once he's out, oh, man, then what? Are we really going to go to the second RB? I feel like they should just use him more. You got to give that guy more carries to kind of keep McCaffrey kind of fresh. I feel like if he breaks a big one, the next play, we're running him up right to the middle. Like, come on, man, give him some Gatorade, get him on the sidelines.
Sam, what are you having for dinner?
Papa Murphy's.
Oh, okay. And are they going to burn it?
I might burn it because it's a take and bake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the old take and bake.
I mean, you just sound like someone who's like, and dinner's going to be burnt, and then I'm going to try to sleep, and I won't be able to. My God, you sound like you think everything with the 49ers is going to hell in a handbasket.
It can. You just look at his expression when he's at the podium. He was spry before the season started. Now he's just like, injury this guy, injury A, B, C, D. I don't know, maybe 2-5 weeks.
When did you see him as spry, Sam?
I like Sam. That's a three for your Shanahan.
It's a good impression, but no, I don't think he ever was spry. Like, this isn't news to you, right? Like, Kyle doesn't like the podium portion of the show. No coach does.
Hey, you guys are pretty excited, too, with a healthy roster, too, until week one, you know, it got in the books. And look, we already canned a guy the first week as well. Like, made that decision beforehand.
Yes, he should.
And I'm still optimistic, Sam.
Thanks, Sam.
My Dauber is not down at all and going into this game. And it's interesting what Sam says, because I hear this a lot from fans about, you know, you need to spell McCaffrey. You need to get Robinson and whoever else in there and get him some carries. And you look at every drive, and I'm looking at my sheet here.
Yeah, they did.
Second half, CMC, he goes out. Robinson, he goes out. CMC, he goes out. Robinson, he goes out. CMC goes for nothing. Then they throw it. Then it's Robinson. Then it's CMC. That's just on one drive and in the third quarter. So they do spell him. They didn't overuse him. 31 touches, yeah. But it's not like he played all 73 offensive snaps. He didn't.
Let me ask you this, and this might be a little bit of an uncomfortable subject. I mean, it's sports. We're fine. But like
sports, man.
You know, but what do you think about this? If you've got something that you know has a limited shelf life, let's say a car. You got a car. It's got, you know, 150,000 miles on it.
Yeah, it's close to what I have.
Okay, is your thought process with that car, I better start driving less. I really want to stretch this out for as many years as possible. Or do you think to yourself, yo, this is limited no matter how the hell. Let's get everything we got out of it. And it's probably someday this thing's going to have steam coming out of the hood. And I'll call AAA and we'll figure it out there. But let's push it and get everything we can out of it while it's still alive.
You need it. So, yeah, you use the car, you drive it. And I was thinking about if you had a third car. So you have a car, your wife has a car, but you got that third car because it's your fancy car or it's your weekend car or whatever it is. That's the car that you maybe aren't going to drive all the time because you do want that thing to last. And, you know, so you're not going to take it to work all the time. You're going to use your other car. But your point, your analogy is right where I am as far as how I live. If you have something and you need to use it, or it's really good and you want to use it, you use it. Because somebody might come and steal that car. So you baby it, you don't drive it, next thing you know, it's gone. And it's like, man, I wish I would have driven it more. Same thing with McCaffrey. He's your fancy car, and you don't need to give him 31 touches in a game, but if you do, you might win the game, and you really want to win the game, so you're going to give him 31 touches.
Well, the point is Christian McCaffrey absolutely, in NFL terms, has 150,000 miles on him. So it's
thank God he's a Honda.
Well, it's always interesting to me when people sort of make it sound like there's a limited number of carries left, so you might as well stretch those carries out and see if he can maybe still be healthy in January or February. That is a thought process. You might be right. Here's the problem with that. That limited number of carries, you don't know how many there are. It might be one. It might be one.
Yep.
So if you don't know when that last carry is going to be, do you stretch it out? Because you could stretch it out and he could still blow that tire before Christmas. Or do you just say, dude, you're good now. So run.
Yeah.
Run like the wind, because let's get everything that we can get. And who knows? He might play three more years.
Sure.
He might.
You just never know. You never know with that position, and especially with that individual who's had some injuries in his past. And yeah, when you're Kyle Shanahan, and this is what one thing I really like about him the most, is he doesn't think about things outside of the here and now. He's not thinking about November games, December games, the playoffs, or any of that. He has a game plan. He has a roster, and he looks at it and thinks, what's the best thing I can do? What's the best play? Who's the best player? How do I go about getting this play to work? And the answer the majority of the time is Christian McCaffrey. Give him the ball. So he's not thinking about, you know, Christian has had, you know, 31 touches and stuff, and so I want to make sure he's below 18 this week. That way we can maintain our average.
It was also only 22 carries. People keep locking in on 31 touches, and you don't know in a pass play where the ball is going to go. You don't know where it's going to go. I don't know. I mean, in fact, if you know a lot about the Kyle Shanahan system, when the quarterback comes to the line of scrimmage, he's got two plays. Two different plays are both in his pocket. And then the play gets called based on what the defense is doing. So the quarterback is actually making that last call. You don't know. Kyle's not sitting there being like, watch this, Christian's going to get the ball. You don't know. You don't know where it's going to go. There are progressions. There are reads. There are multiple people running around out there. Even though last week it didn't look like it. I don't know where the hell Russell Gage and Marquez Valdes-Scantling were. Apparently, I'm told they were out on the field. I never saw them.
They ran routes.
Yeah.
They were out there running around and doing things. And if you really want to wring your hands and cry in your beer over Christian McCaffrey and his usage, then watch the game and count the amount of times when he's not targeted and he doesn't carry the ball, and watch what he does. For example, the blitz pickup, when he steps up and has to shoulder a 240-pound linebacker running at full speed.
That's a great point.
Does that not count as something we should worry about?
Probably so, counts more.
31 touches. He got targeted once. He didn't catch it. And there were probably, and I haven't watched just Christian on the tape, but I can remember two or three where he steps up and he's just kapowing linebackers,
blasted,
which is probably more damaging than catching a swing route and running out of bounds.
It's a great point. It's just a great point, because you took 31 touches. What does that mean? I know people are like, because he's being tackled. Well, I don't know. There are some routes where Christian is in there for a play and never gets touched. That does happen.
Yep.
It's pretty rare. Most football players, you're going to get damage every single snap. You're running into someone, something. You're also just running, which, by the way, the injury we're talking about with Christian, that's probably more dangerous than being tackled.
Running.
Yeah, that's how George Kittle got hurt. He didn't get tackled.
That's how McCaffrey got hurt last year.
Exactly.
Running. Jawan Jennings got hurt in this game, and he wasn't targeted. He was just running, and the defender stepped up and drilled him in the shoulder.
We need to give him an Apple Watch so that he can limit his steps. Not worried about his touches or his hits.
Good point.
We got to get that guy an Apple Watch.
I'm going to rewatch the game one more time and just count how many times Christian McCaffrey is hit. And I'll rate the contact on a 1 to 10 scale. And then we can all call Shanahan and demand that McCaffrey stop playing football.
If anybody else had said that, I would have believed you were being sarcastic. But I know you all actually do that, which is great. All right. We're talking it out. Brock Purdy is hurt. Who's more important to the offense, Purdy or McCaffrey? Why is there not more concern? That's through my eyes. Talking it all out on 95.7 The Game, and that's presented by Paramount Plus. Watch the new season of Tulsa King on Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King, streaming September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus. Let's go to Paul and Tracy. Hi, Paul. Thank you for the call on Willard and Dibbs.
Hey, guys. First-time caller, long-time listener. How you guys doing?
We're good, Paul. Thank you.
Yeah, so I just want to say that we're going to be just fine with Mac Jones because Kyle Shanahan has a track record of winning with decent backup QBs. I'll give you two examples. One is Jimmy Garoppolo. It took him to the Super Bowl, all the way to the Super Bowl, who can't even find a backup job right now. I think he's a QB3 right now with the Rams. And you guys forget that when Purdy came up, he was a backup QB. He took him all the way to the championship, NFC championship, and to the Super Bowl. So that's my two examples for you guys that we're going to be just fine. And Mac Jones is a decent enough QB to get us the win.
Paul, thank you very much. Interesting semantics play by Paul.
Yeah, and Jimmy is the backup. He's QB2 in LA.
Right. He also wasn't when he went to the Super Bowl with the San Francisco 49ers. He was not the backup. In fact, he was just the year before, for a short period of time, the highest paid player in the NFL. So just because he's a backup now doesn't mean that he was a backup then, and therefore I'm not going to give you that one. And then Brock Purdy, sure, he was a backup when he came in, but let's get some flavor into that conversation, which is he's proven that he should not have been a backup. And I'll also point out that at the beginning of that season, that's when, before it even started, that's when the famous conversation took place between Kyle Shanahan and Jed York, when Kyle went up to Jed and said, "Jed, I need to talk to you about something. There are three quarterbacks in this camp. One of them is the number three pick in the draft, Trey Lance. Another one of them is Jimmy Garoppolo. He's taking this franchise to a Super Bowl. And the other one is our best quarterback. What do we do about that?"
Right. Well,
and that's a fact.
You get the one guy hurt, and then the other guy gets hurt, and then you get the chance to play him.
And you go to the NFC title game.
To piggyback on Paul's comment, and I do like the comment, but for me, the bigger point is look at the quarterbacks that Kyle has had and look at how they've played with Kyle as opposed to playing elsewhere.
Sure.
And Brock Purdy has never done that. He's never played elsewhere. Jimmy G has, and he's now on his second team post-Niners, and his Raider experience was not great, and now he's a backup. And C.J. Beathard is on the practice squad, and Nick Mullins is a backup, and he's never done anything else. And Josh Dobbs, I think he's on my list. He might be somebody's backup. He might not be. We don't even know. My point is,
I'll look it up.
These quarterbacks, they do best with Kyle Shanahan. And that's, I think, what he was getting at. Yeah, he's the New England backup.
Yes.
Dobbs 3-12, by the way, in his career
as a starter. Yeah.
So that to me becomes the bigger point. Sam Darnold might be the one notable exception, although we never saw what he could do here. He started just the one game and he lost it, but he would even tell you that being here was the best thing for his career. He went on to Minnesota and now Seattle, and his career got jump-started.
Yeah, like, I'm going to give O'Connell credit for Sam Darnold more than Kyle Shanahan, because he never really played for Kyle Shanahan. But I'm sure it helped. I'm sure it did not hurt. Like, I can buy the core of what your point is and still keep mine, I believe, which is to say, is the best of Mac Jones, let's say he gets the next four games, are we going to see the best version of him that we've ever seen? I don't know, but I'd believe it if you told me we would. Like, I would not be surprised by that. So that's not even really what I'm getting at. I don't want to say that today. I'm not here to tell you the Niners are about to go on a losing streak. I'm simply here to tell you that when the starting quarterback goes out and it's a franchise guy, it's a problem. It is a problem in the NFL, and I think that collectively we fall a little bit into a trap because of where we've been with this particular regime, and we just assume that whoever comes in is going to be awesome, and that's fine too, but I would just love to point out that that means that you think Shanahan is great, like uber, uber great, or it means that you think that Purdy is just fine,
Or it means
but
that...
But not that big of a deal.
It also can mean that the team around him, Brock Purdy, Mac Jones, is good, and Mac Jones is better than you think. And I used this example earlier about Jake Browning when he came in for Joe Burrow, and they won games. They played well.
Yep.
They didn't win all the games, but he was a guy... Shout out Folsom High School. I covered him when he was a high school player out there in Folsom, and he came in for Joe Burrow. He started the rest of the games that year, thank you, and he played well. And they wound up 9-8. They missed the playoffs.
It's kind of weird that he never like had somebody freak out to trade for him.
Yeah, it's
like usually, you know what I mean? Like Matt Schaub did that once in his career. He was a backup in Atlanta. And he came in and he won a bunch of games. And
was that with Shanahan or that was...
I don't remember, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But like normally when someone does that, immediately the league is like, that's a starting quarterback. Let's get our hands on him. And then he went to Houston and became a very highly paid starting quarterback with mixed results.
Yeah, you more bad than good.
It was good at the beginning and then it was bad at the end. But anyway, my point is, and this it's not about... Mac at all. It's just simply to say, like even you said, the team around him is really good. Well, is it? There's no Kittle, and I don't even know. I know Ricky's playing. I don't even know who the receiving corps is outside of that. So it can be a good team, but at minimum, it's got a lot of shots in what it normally is.
Some shots,
A lot of things missing.
Well, you've got McCaffrey, and you've got Trent Williams, and I was looking at the Pro Football Focus numbers from week one, Trent with a 55.3
wasn't great
rating. Yeah, it was actually terrible. He was the 46th highest ranked tackle out of 65 in the NFL. So not only was he bad, he was bottom third in the NFL. But the Jake Browning one, 4-3 in his 7 starts that year, 70% completion percentage. He went out there and he balled out. And Cincinnati probably was healthier than the Niners are now, but they went 4-3 under Browning, and he was replacing a franchise guy. So it doesn't automatically mean a catastrophe is waiting.
Do you know who Otto Kemp is? Otto Kemp.
Any relation to Jack Kemp?
I don't think so.
Okay. Then I don't know who Otto Kemp is.
Otto Kemp is the second baseman for the Philadelphia Phillies.
Okay.
And he just hit a 2-run home run into the left field bleachers.
We need more Harry Callis to come back. That's the voice you're doing for those of you who are too young to know.
New York Mets lead has been cut in half, and it's now 4-2 for the Metropolitans in the fourth inning.
Otto Kemp. Okay.
Otto Kemp.
Did you know who Otto Kemp was before you just saw him go deep?
No.
Thank you. No. Where's my scotch?
End of the fourth in Philly. Mets lead 4-2, but it was 4-0, so yay. Go fight in Phils. Out to Daniel in San Jose. Hi, Daniel. What are you doing?
Hey, how's it going? I'm about to go to the gym.
Oh, look at you, fancy pants.
Yeah, gotta stay in shape.
Get it in.
Right.
Yeah. All right, now what?
So I wanted to answer your guys' question. I think Purdy is important for us to be a competent offense, and I think CMC is important for us to be an elite offense.
That's an interesting way
to
put it.
I like the nuanced answer.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, so if we got to take one away, who goes away?
Well, it depends. You want to win one game, or do you want to win the Super Bowl, or you want to get to the Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, let's just put it in the context that it's currently in. Let's say just for the next two games.
Yeah, I think the answer is Purdy, and I also think the Saints had about 5 sacks against Kyle Murray, and I don't trust our offensive line, and Mac Jones isn't as mobile.
Yeah.
So I think there's going to be issues.
That's fair concern, Daniel. Appreciate it. That's another thing that I think is really important to point out when we talk about this easy schedule for the 49ers. When we look at teams, we are often, this is just the way our brains work, this is the fantasy football in all of us, we look at their offense. How many times have you and I had the conversation of who are the, and it's not 17 because they play Kyler Murray and Matt Stafford twice and all that, so who are the 14 quarterbacks that the Niners face this year? And then we go, oh, isn't nobody that great on that? We don't talk about the defense. The Saints defense is not bad. It's not bad at all. And it is facing Mac Jones. And it is facing a receiving core that is beaten up. And it is facing Jake Tongis. And it is facing an offensive line that did not protect its passer very well last week. And now it is facing a quarterback who is not able to run away from the pressure the way that our normal quarterback does. So that is a consideration when you look at this football game.
It's a consideration for sure, yeah. But it's up to Kyle Shanahan to know these things and scheme it up a little bit differently. And I think that you're going to find more of what we saw in the second half against Seattle, which was having an extra guy stay in. And I mentioned this before. We were talking about McCaffrey and how many actions he had outside of the targets and the carries when he was in on pass protection. And a lot of times they had a tight end. They did a lot of two tight end sets, and they would leave one in to protect because they were having a hard time in the first half, especially with pressure. And I know that Brock Purdy had the second highest pressure rate in the NFL through week one. The Carolina quarterback, Bryce Young, was number one in pressure rate.
But it was also the number one in his career.
Right. Purdy's was 35% of his dropbacks he was pressured on, according to Football Reference.
I saw his pressure rate was 58%. The pressure rate was 58% in that game against Seattle.
Yeah, I'm looking here at Pro Football Reference. They have 35.9, 14 pressures on 35 attempts.
Okay, that's a different stat than what I saw, but whatever.
It doesn't matter. Point is, he got pressured a lot. The pass protection was not great, and Trent Williams was getting run around many times, and so, yeah, that's going to be something that Kyle Shanahan's going to have to adjust to, and especially if you don't have Juwan Jennings. We don't know what his status will be, but you don't have George Kittle. It's going to make the passing game a lot more stressed.
Greg Cosell, are the lack of mobility concerns for Mac Jones, combined with the way the offensive line played last week, is that a problem this weekend?
I'm always leery of making those kinds of judgments after one game, because how many snaps did they play together in the preseason? Together, five guys, probably none. So again, I'm not going to sit here and say they'll be great. They could have some issues again. All I'm saying is I'm never comfortable after week one making a definitive judgment about a player, a team, a unit. You would expect them to be better. Don't forget they've got a new left guard. You would expect them to be better. You know, it's a pretty good Saints defense in terms of personnel, so that could cause them some issues. But, you know, I would definitely expect them, you know, I didn't think this was Trent Williams' best game either.
No,
I mean,
he
didn't play all preseason. You know, no matter, look, the guys, we all know he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but you still have to shake the rust off. I mean, this is the first time he played, and then you're not asking him to play 15 snaps to just get a feel. You're asking him to play. I mean, they ran, 72, 73 plays. They ran a lot of plays.
Sorry about my cameo there on that sound clip.
Yeah. He wasn't.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
It wasn't.
It wasn't very good.
Wasn't good enough. Like I said, Pro Football Focus had him with a 56, and he's normally in the high 80s, low 90s.
Yeah,
he's always one of the highest rated players. And if you look, Dominic Pooney was at about the same level, and they really struggled in pass protection and run blocking. And you mentioned it before about New Orleans defense. It's a good one. Greg Cosell talked about them going with the five-man front, that 52 in the base defense. They're going to get after the 49ers. They're going to get after the quarterback, certainly, and in the run game. So Shanahan's going to have to find some ways to scheme guys open, not name George Kittle.
Yeah, we had somebody call in earlier and was like, don't get the dauber down. And you're like, the dauber's not down. And I'm sure a lot of you listening to the show today, you're like, Willard's dauber's down. My dauber's not down. I can't wait for the game on Sunday. But if you're asking if my optimism for the next month is down, are my eyebrows up a little bit, is there a little bit of a ugly feeling in the belly? Yeah. Absolutely. All of those things. I quite frankly, I think it's wild that anybody who really loves the team wouldn't feel a little bit that way. Like, the quarterback's hurt. Like, it's week two, and the quarterback is hurt.
We don't know how long he's out, though.
No, we don't.
I'm not going to think about a month and think, oh,
no, but we could
God.
But we do 2 weeks.
We'll do Sunday. We're just going to do Sunday.
2 weeks.
We're doing Sunday.
He ain't
and
playing
then,
next week.
Well, we're going to do Sunday.
All right.
And then
I mean, you do
if
it.
Mac Jones is awful or maybe something happens to Mac Jones. Then we can talk next week about what do we do? Do we go to Adrian Martinez?
Yeah, of course that's what they would do.
He's the backup.
Yeah, he's the only other quarterback on the roster.
They said today that he's going to be the backup.
Who else would it be?
They could bring in somebody. C.J. Beathard is on a practice squad. You can go ahead and sign him. So
they even said they've got a roster crunch right now, and they're not able to bring in another quarterback, or at least that's how they feel. We'll see who comes out of this one healthy. Sure, it's none of those things. It's not saying that they can't win. It's not, what about week six? Is Brock going to be ready? I'm talking about what we do know, and I think that the challenge facing the 49ers right now is larger than what many are giving it credit for.
That's
how I would phrase it.
I would say we don't know how large the challenge is because we don't know how long he'll be out, and the report can be 2 to 5 weeks, and the report can be wrong. Well, it could be one game, it could be nine games, we just don't know.
Even if we want to do it the way you want to do it, and just talk about this weekend.
This Sunday.
I think the challenge is bigger than what people are giving it credit for, because the way we look at sports, this is what we do. We grab a handful of teams in every sport at the start of the year, and we dismiss them as completely, completely irrelevant and unable to function. And it's not that. It's not that. Like, the Saints are one of about five teams that we've decided are just pointless and unable to function. And they're not that. They played a real game on Sunday within one score of a team that we would at least say is, like, I don't know, solid-ish. Like, sure. Not a great team.
Well, let me just ask you this.
Okay.
Do you think the Saints are going to go 0-17 this year?
No.
Okay.
Definitely not.
Do you think they'll win more than five games? They won five last year. Are the Saints going to win five games? I mean, I'm not trying to, like...
Are they? You said more than five or five?
Let's just say five.
Yeah, probably.
So, if the Saints win five games, that means there's going to be five teams that play the Saints that probably think we're going to beat the Saints, and they're not going to beat the Saints.
Their quarterback is about to be a household.
Apparently, yeah. So you look at any NFL team, and you can look at even the Dolphins, for example, who, after week one, look to be a mess. Their coach looks to be in real trouble. Their wide receivers got issues in court with a domestic incident from 2 years ago that now he's being sued again. They had a players-only meeting. The Miami Dolphins are an absolute hot mess. They're not going to go 0-17, so somebody's going to face the Dolphins thinking, oh, we got the Dolphins, we're going to beat Miami, and they're not going to do it. So I'm not looking past New Orleans. The spread is 3 or 3.5. That's a real tight line. Although, if it was on a neutral field, the Niners would be favored by 6 based on the normal way that this works. So, I'm not dismissing New Orleans. I look at the totality of the Niners, even with Mac Jones, and think, yeah, you're good enough to win this. I think you should still win this game.
You know what's weird about that? The Dolphins thing you referenced?
Yeah.
Coming out of that game, they're favored. They're favored this weekend.
Against?
New England.
Oh, yeah. It's a home game, right?
Yeah. Does that make sense to you?
It does, I suppose. It's what, 1.5 is the spread?
Yeah. But, like, you watched them play. They could not. I mean, they looked like a kid trying to learn how to ride a bike. Like, can you guys complete a pass if we carry you? Like, do you need your dad behind you?
It was a struggle.
Holding your seat.
And New England lost to Vegas.
Yes.
Drake May did not look very good. I didn't watch every snap, but what I did watch, he had some accuracy issues in that game.
No, I didn't think that was a Drake May thing. I don't think Vegas is that bad.
They're pretty good.
But again, this is the week two problem. Like, we're going to just take the one thing that we've seen and we're going to run with that. But I didn't think Vegas was going to be that bad to begin with. Like, that's, you know what I mean? That's Pete Carroll and Geno Smith. We watched that with the Seahawks for years, and it's viable.
Yeah.
They weren't great, but they're not bad. You know I said this before the year. That division is incredible.
Should be tough, yeah.
Very, very well coached, competent quarterback, all of the things. So, I don't know. We need more information. But the idea that you'd watch the Dolphins play that game last week and then come out and the next week be that they're favored against anybody is wild.
I suppose.
They could not function.
No, and their highfalutin, high-powered offense didn't score until garbage time.
Right.
They were down 30-0, I believe.
And by the way, did you see the touchdown?
No.
I think it was like 4th and 10 from the 12, and they just did a swing route to Devon Achane. And he just broke three tackles and just bowled his way into the end zone. Not a good play at all. Just an unbelievable individual effort to make it 33-8.
Right. They're down 33-0.
Yeah. And oh my God, they were just they were easily the worst team of the weekend.
No doubt. And like you said, though, now we can all just surmise that the coach will get fired and this and that, and we make all these sweeping declarative statements about Miami. They could bounce back against New England. They could be 1-1, and everyone will think differently after week two.
For sure. For sure. So I'm talking even just about this particular weekend. I think if you grab Mac Jones and Jake Tonjes and go on the road to one of the loudest environments in football and you win a football game, I'm going to be impressed. And I think a lot of Niner fans are like, Saints, eh. And that's all. That's all. I think that this is a challenging situation simply because of what you need to do personnel-wise. You've never done it before. You've got new people, not been in the system, right? Your quarterback, this is his first game in the system. Your running back, your second running back at least, this is his second game in the system. You're signing receivers off of the street every single week. And if you can win a football game doing that, I'm going to be real impressed.
Yeah, especially on the road and, you know, second straight road game and all the rest of it. Anytime you win a game in the NFL, it's usually an impressive feat, especially if you do it on the road and you've got multiple backups in spots where you normally would have, you know, key guys and George Kittle, possible Hall of Famer, all pro to be certain. So, yeah, anytime you can win a game when you're down a couple of guys, it's impressive, especially when it's your quarterback.
Bryce Harper with a line drive down the right field line into the corner to score another one. And the Phillies have cut the deficit to 1 in the bottom of the fifth inning. Mets leading 4-3.
There you go. It's an exciting update there from Harry Kalish. Not quite Harry Callis, the old venerable Philadelphia voice, but Harry Kalish. We should bring that bit back. We did a little of that our first year.
Yeah.
Where you do your Harry Kalish impersonation.
You want a preview of the NFL weekend or a review of the NFL weekend?
We should probably do a preview.
A preview?
Or we could do a review, either one.
Whatever you want.
I'm just kind of liking these.
I'll be your wind-up toy.
I'm liking these updates right now. Yeah, I'm liking them early.
Okay.
You know, and you know, we got the game on here in the studio, and so we're keeping an eye on it. But
JT Real Muto chased one out of the zone.
Yeah, what happened?
End of the fifth inning. Side retired.
Mets 4, Phillies 3.
Metropolitans 4, Phillies 3.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, they're scratching and clawing. They're chipping away at the lead. They were down 4-0. So
somebody asked me this morning, when did your voice become like this? And I said, years of cigarettes.
Right. That's how his probably got there.
That's the reason I bring it up. It's not true with me, but it was with Harry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of the great deep voice people. It's cigarettes and booze,
which you know. Cigarettes and alcohol.
Yeah.
It's a great Oasis song.
Didn't work for me, Mark.
No.
I'm still up
still
here.
Trying.
Still trying. Still trying, Jim. Yeah, I'm hanging in there. Anyway.
Hang in there, big guy.
Yeah, let's go to Dibs, half in the bag.
There'll be deeper tones ahead. For sure.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, so, look, I mean, the narratives coming out of Sunday, you can already feel them coming. You can feel them coming.
It's either, if the Niners lose, it is, you know, the defense, we overrated it, and Mac Jones, God, what are we doing? I miss Sam Darnold. Or if they win, it's going to be controversy, boom, boom,
which
boom,
is,
boom, boom.
Which is ridiculous.
Quarterback controversy.
Well, I want you to think of the quarterback thing. Look, here's a great way to look at it. And I know Pat McAfee already, what would you, Mac Jones.
Did you hear him this morning?
No, but I heard about it. Like,
yeah.
If he wins two or three in a row, I think the quote was, I wonder if Kyle would pivot. Well, let me go ahead and answer it for you. Patrick, no, he will not. And it's not because of anyone's opinion. Think about this. You want to know, like, the way finances and things like that affect what a corporation does. Did you all see how long it took them to get rid of Jake Moody? Did you notice? Like, you knew that he wasn't good anymore. I knew that he wasn't good anymore. They knew that it was a huge problem. They knew that they had a game that counted last weekend, and they still gave him a plane ticket. Why'd they do that? Yeah, because they had invested in him. They have now invested, more so than anyone in the history of the organization, in Brock Purdy. That was their choice. You can disagree with it all you want, but there will not be any replacing Brock until he looks like Jake Moody. You get to go out there and lose like 13 games in a row with more picks than touchdowns every time, and then they'll be like, sheesh, you think we should...
At that point, you got to pivot.
Yeah,
if you lose 13 in a row...
Maybe we should sit Brock? What do you think?
Might be time then.
Yeah.
You don't sit, you don't sit money. You don't sit nine figures.
He's also 1-0, by the way.
It's fine. Yeah.
And he's 1-0. Was he great? No. Was he
even
bad?
If they
no.
go 4-0 without him or 5-0 without him,
I don't know.
When he comes back, yeah, you're not sitting $53 million, even though he's not making it yet. If you want to just play this out, so Matt comes, he plays, you win, he looks great. Man, this offense is humming. Okay. So now Brock gets healthy. And you're going to ride the hot hand. You're going to stick with Mac, and you're just going to sit Brock. And then the year ends however it ends, and then what? You go back to Brock Purdy next year? And, all right, Brock, we were just kidding about last year. You're back. You're back in there.
It's like I'm already prepping myself for what the – because in the, I get it, like, this is the way we all do it, but there's going to be something – there's going to be some sort of reaction from Sunday that is probably not going to be based in reality. You know what I mean? It's either, by the way, one of them is, well, Kyle is a genius. And maybe you do think that. Maybe you hate that phrase. Whichever in between. But if Mac Jones goes out there and they do, 27-10, Niners win. Well, Kyle's a genius. Or, Brock Purdy, overrated.
Yep. Overpaid for sure.
Or, right, like, God, the Saints really are that bad, or all of these things. So something annoying is coming on Monday. I'm pretty sure about that, no matter how the game works out.
If it's a victory Monday, it's a victory Monday,
yeah,
in my book.
I'm not going to be in, right.
If they win 45-42 and they're down by two touchdowns in the fourth quarter and Mac brings them back, Mac with two fourth quarter touchdowns to Jake Tonjes, then, yeah. All that talk about Purdy being overrated and overpaid, it's gonna bubble up.
What if they lose?
Then
what if they lose a low-scoring defensive struggle? And by the way, I say this with a little more gravity because this to me is actually on the table. Your 44-42 game, I think, a little far-fetched. A
little bit.
Okay, but
I agree.
You lose the game 17-13. Now, I do not think that is off of the table. And what would you say then? Does the criticism go to Kyle, or do you suddenly go, sorry about that, Brock?
Well, I think if they lose that way, it's much more understandable. I don't think, unless Mac Jones is horrific, if he throws three picks and you lose, then it's going to be, we need to find another backup quarterback or get well soon, Brock. And the other one is, what if you lose 14-13 and Eddie Pinheiro, your beloved kicker, misses a couple of kicks. Then what are we talking about on Monday?
I don't want to do that.
Mr. Accuracy, fourth all time in accuracy.
Yeah.
You're going to come out and you're going to miss?
Maybe.
I mean.
He doesn't make them all.
No, he's about 89%.
Yeah. Everybody misses some.
Not Eddie. Not Eddie DeNiro. Eddie
some.
D. Yeah.
He misses one out of every 10.
There's a reason why he was out of work. So a lot of different ways we will react and overreact on Monday.
All right, we're sponsored by Moderna. And the number's 888-957-957. Phillies are coming up to bat.
So good.
And this is Willard and Dibs.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I've got a major bromance with Fred Warner.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Remember that guy we met, like, I don't know, it was about an hour ago?
Sure. The guy on the phone who was getting the take and bake pizza, the one who you were accusing of having burned it?
No, not that guy.
Okay. The guy, Paul, first time caller?
No, not him either.
Hey!
He calls tomorrow.
This guy's a little rough.
No, not him.
That's going to be a no for me, dog.
No, the
That's
guy.
That's the bottom line.
The guy that you wanted to know.
If, he's a little runt.
If he was related to Jack Kemp.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that guy.
Otto Kemp. You remember who was related to Jack Kemp?
Yeah, his son.
Jeff Kemp.
Thank you.
A quarterback.
That's right.
Yeah.
What? Granny, his son was related to him. He wasn't. I couldn't remember the man's name. I knew that he was a somebody.
You know who's related to Myla Dibley?
Her dad. And her mom. I mean, yeah. All the things I get wrong, I deserve a ding for that.
Yeah.
I had it right. JT Snow's dad was also related to JT. Jack Snow.
Yeah, he was a good football player.
Anyway, Otto Kemp.
Otto Kemp.
You were saying. You got a bromance with Otto Kemp.
Otto Kemp with a swing and a long one out to the left center field alley, and that'll score one for the Phillies, and this game is tied.
Phillies and Mets, all square.
Metropolitans and Phillies. 4-4 in the bottom of the sixth, and the Phillies with one out still have ducks on the pond.
Yeah, first and second, potentially going to do some more damage. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. Scoreboard watching, if the Mets lose, the Giants will be 1.5 back.
One and a half.
Which is, I mean, crazy to think about.
It's absurd. And the Mets were up 4-0, like 45 minutes ago. And now it's 4-4.
Yep. And this would be a four-game broom job for the Phillies if they were able to pull this one off.
Dude, what are the Mets doing?
Losing.
What are the Mets?
Like, what are they all doing? The time. I don't know.
Thank you, Mets. It's a curse of Tyler Rogers.
Boy.
Or Jose Buto.
Seriously.
Or Drew Gilbert. Maybe Drew Gilbert is actually running this show. That's the trade he was in.
Is Buto still on the Giants? I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I've just been missing the Buto outings.
No, he's been really good out of the pen.
Yeah. Well, their pen has been really good. You pointed it out yesterday. Best pen in baseball since August 1st, which doesn't make sense because they traded everybody.
Yeah, they're two best.
Rodriguez got hurt.
And then the guy, the reason that they traded him, he got hurt.
Right. So Rogers gone, Doval gone, Rodriguez hurt, and you got a bunch of guys nobody's ever heard of, and then Buto, and you can't hit him.
Everybody came out of the weekend all ticked off of the bullpen. Because Ryan Walker couldn't hold a lead. But yeah, it's been from August till now the best bullpen in baseball.
Yep. And man.
Jeez.
Chance to.
And here come the Dodgers.
Right.
And everybody has lined up their pitching staffs, by the way. We'll get into this a little bit tomorrow.
Tomorrow, for sure.
But everybody is lined. The Dodgers are going with their guys, okay? Yamamoto and Glasnow. And I forget who they're sending out for their third. Oh, it's Kershaw.
Huh. Not Otani.
Nope. And not Snell.
Okay.
Because I don't think he pitches in baseball anymore.
I was going to say, is he even back?
Giants are going with Verlander and Webb and Ray.
Perfect.
And Ray will play, provided that Drew Gilbert doesn't eat his uniform. Ground ball, base hit into center field from Harrison Bader. Around third comes whoever the hell was on base, and he's going to score, and the Phillies have taken a 5-4 lead over the Mets in the sixth inning.
Awesome. It's pretty exciting, and still ducks on the pond, first and second.
Duck on the
still
pond.
Still rolling. Wonder if the Giants are going to be able to go on the road tomorrow and handle business against the Dodgers.
That was mean.
I'm just telling you. All you Giant fans out there,
go Dodgers,
within earshot,
oh, God.
It's your job to show up tomorrow and prevent the blue out because it's going to be blue tomorrow. It's going to be more blue. You know, you're going to be a game and a half back.
Don't do this.
And that place is going to be full of Dodger blue.
Don't do this.
I'm going to do it now so that tomorrow when it happens.
But don't blame the fans.
I'm not blaming the fans.
The fans do not have an assignment.
I'm urging you, if you have the opportunity to go, you go. Because it's going to be a ton of blue tomorrow and you're only a game and a half out if this result holds.
No,
that's a shame.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Into that, but like at the same time, there's no avoiding that. Like, buy tickets and you're a Dodger fan, then you buy tickets. Like, there are tickets available. You buy the tickets and you go. That's going to happen. This is California sports. I'm very, very sorry to report to everybody. There's a bunch of people for the other team in the stands. It's true in every...
More so than ever before.
By the way, you want to know one of the only sporting arenas, events, whatever, event centers that I've seen, at least in recent memory in California, that doesn't have a lot of the road representation is Chase Center. I think it's the only one. I mean, Laker games are pretty well represented by the home team, but it is L.A., and it's represented, man. And God, Ram games, don't even get me started. Dodgers games, Padres games, Giants games, Levi Stadium, well represented by the road team.
Yeah, everywhere.
Always. Not Chase.
Yeah, not so much. I mean, it is in different spots, but also the Chase Center crowd for Warrior games it's a pricey crowd. So you don't see as many jerseys as you used to when you were over there at the Oakland Arena at Oracle.
Yeah, I'm just in general. Like, I hear you, but I'm just out on a sort of like assessing fan behavior. Other than the stupid stuff, right? Like, don't run on the field.
Yeah.
Don't grab Lamar Jackson.
Don't be throwing toys.
Just be a normal human being, please. But the whole like how you spend your money, what you wear, how much do you yell, do you boo? All this stuff, like, come on, man.
Well, you don't want fans to do the wave. Like,
no, I don't.
That's something that has bothered you for a long time.
And if you want to call me hypocritical on that one, you can, but that one just triggers me.
I'm not calling you anything,
it triggers me.
You might see the wave break out tomorrow because Dodger fans love the wave.
They do. They do, and maybe they will.
I would bet you that they try to get it started.
That one triggers me.
The wave.
Yeah.
What about beach balls in the crowd?
Same.
That's because it's Dodger behavior, right?
Yes. That's
go
what
Dodgers.
It is.
You're just going to keep playing that, aren't
I don't
you?
Want to be them.
Go Dodgers. Grandy with a Giants hat on today, which is noteworthy because he's actually wearing a hat after yesterday's discussion about how big his melon is. And
it's all about the bit.
Love the bit.
I hope you understand how much power you actually have in this room. You brought this up, and Mark Grandy wore a hat for the first time in his life, and I didn't for the first time in my life.
It's bananas.
And someone called my head a banana. Without a hat, I look like a banana.
You really don't.
Well,
you're tall and slender, but you'd have to have your head would have to have a really weird curve to it for you to resemble a banana.
You didn't want any of that smoke, Met. Yeah, there were two on with two out, and Schwarbaum was up, and he walked him. He didn't want any of that smoke.
Intentional walk?
No. It's the intentional walk.
I don't think the intentional walk should count against a pitcher's ratio.
Well, it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah,
they just
does.
Point to him and say, go to first base. You don't have to throw the pitches anymore.
I know you don't, but I'm sure it still goes down as a base on balls. How else do you account for it?
It's just an intentional base on balls.
Right, but if a pitcher intentionally walks a guy, does it show up on your
I don't think so.
On your box score?
I don't think so. The same way that if you, with the extra innings, the guy scores from second.
The automatic runner. It's unearned.
Does not go to your ERA.
It's an unearned run.
Yeah, it's unearned. Correct.
Right. And I also think while we're on this, because we talked about it yesterday, about the half-court heave no longer being a shot attempt for the individual, I think that they should make it so that the intentional spike to kill the clock, that shouldn't be a pass attempt for the quarterback. It is.
Oh, I like. I think I agree with
so
you.
It's third and three, and there's 8 seconds left, and you got to clock it, clock it, clock, clock, clock. I don't think that that should count as a pass attempt for the individual, but you got to account for it somewhere.
Hot shot down the first baseline off the bat of Bryce Harper. Knocked away by Pete Alonso, but it rolls down the line, and everybody is safe. And the Phillies have taken a 6-4 lead in the bottom of the sixth.
That thing gobbled up Pete Alonso.
That thing, what was a seed, brother? What are you doing, Grandy? Your hat head?
Do you guys hear who the morning roast had on? Analyst for the Niners-Saints game coming up on Sunday, Daryl Moose Johnston.
Oh, yes. I did hear that.
So we'll hear that conversation coming up next.
Moose was great. That's awesome. And that's coming up, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Yeah, give you one more.
All right, let's do it again tomorrow. For Dibs, for Grady, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.